Chapter 70. Some Affairs of the Heart, Little Miss Peacher, from her little official dwelling house, with its little windows like the eyes in needles, and its little doors like the covers of schoolbooks, was very observant indeed of the object of her quiet affections. Love, though said to be afflicted with blindness, is a vigilant watchman, and Miss Peacher kept him on double duty over Mr. Bradley Headstone. It was not that she was naturally given to playing the spy, it was not that she was at all secret, plotting, or mean, it was simply that she loved the irresponsive Bradley with all the primitive and homely stock of love that had never been examined or certificated out of her. If her faithful slate had the latent qualities of sympathetic paper, and its pencil those of invisible ink, many a little treatise calculated to astonish the pupils would have come bursting through the dry sums in school time under the warming influence of Miss Peacher's bosom. For, oftentimes when school was not, and her calm leisure and calm little house were her own, Miss Peacher would commit to the confidential slate an imaginary description of how, upon a balmy evening at dusk, two figures might have been observed in the market garden ground round the corner, of whom one, being a manly form, bent over the other, being a womanly form of short stature and some compactness, and breathed in a low voice the words, "Emma Peacher, wilt thou be my own?" ... After which the womanly form's head reposed upon the manly form's shoulder, and the nightingales tuned up. Though all unseen, and unsuspected by the pupils, Bradley Headstone even pervaded the school exercises. Was geography in question? He would come triumphantly flying out of Vesuvius and Etna ahead of the lava, and would boil unharmed in the hot springs of Iceland, and would float majestically down the Ganges and the Nile. Did history chronicle a king of men? Behold him in pepper and salt pantaloons, with his watch guard round his neck. Were copies to be written? In capital B's and H's, most of the girls under Miss Peacher's tuition were half a year ahead of every other letter in the alphabet. And mental arithmetic, administered by Miss Peacher, often devoted itself to providing Bradley Headstone with a wardrobe of fabulous extent. 84 neckties at 2 9d halfpenny, 2 gross of silver watches at £4.15 6d, 74 black hats at 18 shillings, and many similar superfluities. The vigilant watchman, using his daily opportunities of turning his eyes in Bradley's direction, soon apprised Miss Peacher that Bradley was more preoccupied than had been his wont, and more given to strolling about with a downcast and reserved face, turning something difficult in his mind that was not in the scholastic syllabus. Putting this and that together, combining under the head this, present appearances and the intimacy with Charlie Hexham, and ranging under the head that the visit to his sister, the watchman reported to Miss Peacher his strong suspicions that the sister was at the bottom of it. "I wonder," said Miss Peacher, as she sat making up her weekly report on a half-holiday afternoon, "what they call Hexham's sister." Mary Ann, at her needlework, attendant and attentive, held her arm up. "Well, Mary Ann?" "She is named Lizzie, ma'am." "She can hardly be named Lizzie, I think, Mary Ann," returned Miss Peacher, in a tunefully instructive voice. "Is Lizzie a Christian name, Mary Ann?" Mary Ann laid down her work, rose, hooked herself behind, as being under catechization, and replied, "No, it is a corruption, Miss Peacher." "Who gave her that name?" Miss Peacher was going on, from the mere force of habit, when she checked herself, on Mary Ann's evincing theological impatience, to strike in with her godfathers and her godmothers, and said, "I mean, of what name is it a corruption?" "Elizabeth, or Eliza, Miss Peacher." "Right, Mary Ann." Whether there were any Lizzies in the early Christian church must be considered very doubtful, very doubtful. Miss Peacher was exceedingly sage here. Speaking correctly, we say, then, that Hexam's sister is called Lizzie, not that she is named so. Do we not, Marianne? Apostrophe, we do, Miss Peacher. Apostrophe, and where, apostrophe pursued Miss Peacher, complacent in her little transparent fiction of conducting the examination in a semi-official manner for Marianne's benefit, not her own. Where does this young woman, who is called, but not named Lizzie, live? Think now, before answering. Apostrophe, in Church Street, Smith Square, by Milbank, ma'am. Apostrophe, in Church Street, Smith Square, by Milbank. Apostrophe, repeated Miss Peacher, as if possessed beforehand of the book in which it was written. Exactly so. And what occupation does this young woman pursue, Marianne? Take time. Apostrophe, she has a place of trust at an outfitter's in the city, ma'am. Apostrophe, oh. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Peacher, pondering on it, but smoothly added, in a confirmatory tone, at an outfitter's in the city. Yes? Apostrophe, and Charlie apostrophe Marianne was proceeding, when Miss Peacher stared. I mean Hexam, Miss Peacher. Apostrophe, I should think you did, Marianne. I am glad to hear you do. And Hexam apostrophe, says, apostrophe Marianne went on, that he is not pleased with his sister, and that his sister won't be guided by his advice, and persists in being guided by somebody else's, and that apostrophe, Mr. Headstone coming across the garden. Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed Miss Peacher, with a flushed glance at the looking glass. You have answered very well, Marianne. You are forming an excellent habit of arranging your thoughts clearly. That will do. Apostrophe, the discreet Marianne resumed her seat and her silence, and stitched, and stitched, and was stitching when the schoolmaster's shadow came in before him, announcing that he might be instantly expected. Good evening, Miss Peacher, apostrophe he said, pursuing the shadow, and taking its place. Good evening, Mr. Headstone. Marianne, a chair. Apostrophe, thank you, apostrophe said Bradley, seating himself in his constrained manner. This is but a flying visit. I have looked in, on my way, to ask a kindness of you as a neighbor. Apostrophe, did you say on your way, Mr. Headstone? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Miss Peacher. On my way to where I am going. Apostrophe, Church Street, Smith Square, by Milbank, apostrophe repeated Miss Peacher, in her own thoughts. Charlie Hexam has gone to get a book or two he wants, and will probably be back before me. As we leave my house empty, I took the liberty of telling him I would leave the key here. Would you kindly allow me to do so? Apostrophe apostrophe, certainly, Mr. Headstone. Going for an evening walk, sir? Apostrophe, partly for a walk, and partly for on business. Apostrophe, business in Church Street, Smith Square, by Milbank, apostrophe repeated Miss Peacher to herself. Having said which, apostrophe pursued Bradley, laying his door key on the table, I must be already going. There is nothing I can do for you, Miss Peacher? Apostrophe apostrophe, thank you, Mr. Headstone. In which direction? Apostrophe, in the direction of Westminster. Apostrophe, Milbank, apostrophe Miss Peacher repeated in her own thoughts once again. No, thank you, Mr. Headstone, I'll not trouble you. Apostrophe, you couldn't trouble me, apostrophe said the schoolmaster. Ah, apostrophe, apostrophe returned Miss Peacher, though not aloud, but you can trouble me. Apostrophe apostrophe and for all her quiet manner, and her quiet smile, she was full of trouble as he went his way. She was right touching his destination. He held as straight a course for the house of the doll's dressmaker as the wisdom of his ancestors, exemplified in the construction of the intervening streets, would let him, and walked with a bent head hammering at one fixed idea. It had been an immovable idea, since he first set eyes upon her. It seemed to him, as if all that he could suppress in himself he had suppressed, as if all that he could restrain in himself he had restrained, and the time had come in a rush, in a moment when the power of self-command had departed from him. Love at first sight is a trite expression quite sufficiently discussed. Enough that in certain smoldering natures like this man's, that passion leaps into a blaze, and makes such head as fire does in a rage of wind, when other passions, but for its mastery, could be held in chains. As a multitude of weak imitative natures, are always lying by, ready to go mad upon the next wrong idea, that may be broached in these times, generally some form of tribute to somebody for something, that never was done, or, if ever done, that was done by somebody else, so these less ordinary natures may lie by for years, ready on the touch of an instant, to burst into flame. The schoolmaster went his way, brooding, and brooding, and the sense of being vanquished in a struggle might have been pieced out of his worried face. Truly, in his breast there lingered a resentful shame to find himself defeated by his passion for Charlie Hexam's sister, though in the very self-same moments he was concentrating himself upon the object of bringing the passion to a successful issue. He appeared before the doll's dressmaker, sitting alone at her work. Oh, oh! Apostrophe thought that sharp young personage. It's you, is it? I know your tricks and your manners, my friend. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Hexam's sister, apostrophe, said Bradley Headstone, is not come home yet? Apostrophe, you are quite a conjurer, apostrophe, returned Miss Wren. I will wait, if you please, for I want to speak to her. Apostrophe, do you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Miss Wren. Sit down. I hope it's mutual. Apostrophe, Bradley glanced distrustfully at the shrewd face again bending over the work, and said, trying to conquer doubt and hesitation. I hope you don't imply that my visit will be unacceptable to Hexam's sister? Apostrophe, apostrophe, there. Don't call her that. I can't bear you to call her that, apostrophe, returned Miss Wren, snapping her fingers in a volley of impatient snaps, for I don't like Hexam. Apostrophe, indeed? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no. Apostrophe, Miss Wren wrinkled her nose, to express dislike. Selfish. Thinks only of himself. The way with all of you. Apostrophe, the way with all of us? Then you don't like me? Apostrophe, so-so, apostrophe, replied Miss Wren, with a shrug and a laugh. Don't know much about you. Apostrophe, but I was not aware it was the way with all of us, apostrophe, said Bradley, returning to the accusation, a little injured. Won't you say, some of us? Apostrophe, apostrophe, meaning, apostrophe, returned the little creature, every one of you, but you. Ha! Now look this lady in the face. This is Mrs. Truth. The Honorable. Full dressed. Apostrophe, Bradley glanced at the doll she held up for his observation which had been lying on its face on her bench, while with a needle and thread she fastened the dress on at the back, and looked from it to her. I stand the Honorable Mrs. T on my bench in this corner against the wall, where her blue eyes can shine upon you, apostrophe, pursued Miss Wren, doing so, and making two little dabs at him in the air with her needle, as if she pricked him with it in his own eyes. And I defy you to tell me, with Mrs. T for a witness, what you have come here for. Apostrophe, to see Hexam's sister. Apostrophe, you don't say so. Apostrophe, apostrophe, retorted Miss Wren, hitching her chin. But on whose account? Apostrophe, apostrophe, her own. Apostrophe, oh Mrs. T exclamation point apostrophe exclaimed Miss Wren. You hear him? To reason with her, apostrophe pursued Bradley, half humoring what was present, and half angry with what was not present, for her own sake. Apostrophe, oh Mrs. T exclamation point apostrophe exclaimed the dressmaker. For her own sake, apostrophe repeated Bradley, warming, and for her brother's, and as a perfectly disinterested person. Apostrophe, really, Mrs. T. Apostrophe remarked the dressmaker, since it comes to this, we must positively turn you with your face to the wall. Apostrophe, she had hardly done so, when Lizzie Hexam arrived, and showed some surprise on seeing Bradley Headstone there, and Jenny shaking her little fist at him close before her eyes, and the Honorable Mrs. T. with her face to the wall. Here's a perfectly disinterested person, Lizzie dear, apostrophe said the knowing Miss Wren, come to talk with you, for your own sake and your brother's. Think of that. I am sure there ought to be no third party present at anything so very kind, and so very serious. And so, if you'll remove the third party upstairs, my dear, the third party will retire. Apostrophe, Lizzie took the hand which the doll's dressmaker held out to her for the purpose of being supported away, but only looked at her with an inquiring smile, and made no other movement. The third party hobbles awfully, you know, when she's left to herself. Apostrophe said Miss Wren, her back being so bad, and her leg so queer, so she can't retire gracefully, unless you help her, Lizzie. Apostrophe, she can do no better than stay where she is, apostrophe returned Lizzie, releasing the hand, and laying her own lightly on Miss Jenny's curls. And then to Bradley. From Charlie, sir? Apostrophe, in an irresolute way, and stealing a clumsy look at her, Bradley rose to place a chair for her, and then returned to his own. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.